Anybody still excited from this morning?
Yes.
Did anybody throw open the gates and invite the King of Glory to come in? Hallelujah. And sup with us and dine with us and restore us back to that place on his throne. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Don't ever get off that throne again. Don't let anything else come between you and him and distract you and divert you. There's no other place to be but seated with him in the heavenly places. That's our possession in him. Amen. And it needs to be our experience also. Hallelujah. Amen. Our possession. All it needs is our experience to line up with our possession. And everything will be just fine and dandy. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Psalm 84 says this. Psalm 84 says that the Lord our God is a sun and shield. He will give grace and glory. And he will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly or those who know who they are in Christ Jesus, who know that they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That by the blood of Jesus they have been declared righteous. And they have entrance into the presence of God. Hallelujah. To stand in his presence without a sense of fear or guilt or shame or condemnation or anything else. Hallelujah. They don't need to feel pressured in any way. Glory to God. They learn, as it says in Matthew 11, the unforced rhythms of grace. It says in the Message translation. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, it was that dimension of glory. So the Lord gives grace and glory. It was that dimension of glory that man lost when he sinned and when he fell from glory. You know what he landed in? Grace. He fell from glory into grace. Because God's grace is the remedy for sin. Hallelujah. Amen. It was grace that covered Adam and Eve in their nakedness. It was grace that slaughtered the first animals and took the skins and clothed Adam and Eve. And even when things had descended so far that it says that the thoughts of men's hearts were only evil continually, it says that Noah found grace. How do you find grace? Well, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, you're saved by grace through faith. God found a man who still believed that there was grace and that he needed grace. Come on. Hallelujah. But you know, God's heart was always to restore glory. Amen. Thank God for grace. But his heart was always to restore man to glory, to living in that dimension. That's the fourth dimension that God wants us to live in, the fourth dimension of glory. Hallelujah. Without that, we're just 3D people living in a 3D world up against it. No power or authority to do anything against our circumstances, but cross our fingers, touch wood, and hope for the best. Come on. But God's heart was to restore us, and that's what Jesus did at the cross. He made it possible for us to be restored to that fourth dimension of glory, to be reconnected with the Lord. He who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Hallelujah. Amen. That always own connection. Glory to God. I found this. Some of you have heard this before, but I found this on an internet site a few years ago. It was the site of a non-Christian PhD, and his website, when I came across it several years ago, had already attracted more than 1 million hits. And this is what he said. A 4D being would be a God to us. It would see everything in our world. It could effortlessly remove things before your very eyes, giving you the impression that the object simply disappeared. The 4D being could also see inside any 3D object or life form and, if necessary, remove anything from inside. The being could look inside our intestines or remove a tumor from our brain without ever cutting the skin. As a non-Christian, what does that sound like to you? You see, 3D people need to have an encounter with this 4D being. Amen? He's the Lord of glory. He's the Lord who is a sun and shield. He's the Lord who will give grace and glory. He's the Lord who will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. Hallelujah. Not only do we need to encounter him, we need to move on from that encounter into the fullness of his desire. Not only meet our 3D needs, but to introduce us to 4D living. How can this happen? We've been reading it over and over the weeks. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27. God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Greek word there, glory, doxa, it means honor, renown, glory, and especially divine quality. It means the unspoken manifestation of God and splendor. Hallelujah. That's what God longs for us to get the revelation of what's on the inside of us. That's the hope. The hope of God's glory manifesting. Hallelujah. Amen. In the Hebrew, in Isaiah, when it talks about the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, the Hebrew word there, kavod, means honor, splendor, power, wealth, authority, magnificence, fame, dignity, riches, excellency. I said earlier, and I've kind of put off what we've been speaking about over the last few weeks on Sunday evenings. What do you expect? Well, really, like the two messages are just kind of merging at this point. Amen. What do you expect? What does this hope of glory cause you to expect? Hallelujah. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 to 24 says this: for Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, because they're still looking for a sign. Come on. To the Greeks, foolishness, because they're still seeking after wisdom. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. In fact, I was just listening to a little bit of a message of a friend of mine from he's been here a couple of times, remember Alan Robertson from South Carolina, and he sent me a link to a couple of messages he preached recently, and I just was listening to a tiny little bit of one just this afternoon, and he's talking about this friend of his who has done a lot of study into the original languages and of the scriptures, and he, every time he comes across the power of God, he places in there the miraculous of God. The miraculous of God. And so, listen to that. To those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the miraculous of God and the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Do you expect the miraculous? Do you expect, because you live in this relationship with this God, hallelujah, who has power, miraculous power, do you expect to experience the miraculous on a daily basis? Christ is in us, so we have both the power and the wisdom of God working in us in order to raise the standard and to restore the fourth dimension in all of its magnificence and excellence and all of its glorious implications. Do you believe that tonight? I shared this morning, but it came to me on Wednesday night, you know, that as Christians, we no longer say that we will believe it when we see it, you know, because we kind of got weaned off that a wee bit. Most of us, anyhow. But it came to me on Wednesday night that we do still have a tendency to think that we will believe it when we feel it. You know, you don't have to feel it to believe it. As I said earlier, come on, if you believe it, you will see it and you will feel it. But you cannot wait till you see it or till you feel it, till you believe it. Because then you've missed it. You've missed the opportunity to live by faith. Because now you live by how you feel. You live by what you see. That's the way 3D people live. That's how 3D people live. They live by what they see and how they feel. People of faith, people who live in that fourth dimension of glory, they live by what they say. They live by what they hear, and they say what they hear. They repeat what they hear. They live by what they say. Hallelujah. Because they live by what they say, they get to see what they say. And thank God they also get to feel it. Amen. Hallelujah. God's a feely God. You know what I'm saying? God's kind of touchy-feely. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Amen. He loves to touch people. Amen. Come on. God loves to touch people. He's very tactile, is our God. Amen. Some people grew up in homes where there was very little emotion shown from their parents, where there was very little physical touch and very little hugging and just loving on their children, you know what I mean, in all the good ways, in all the right, the best ways. And something that was in that child that was designed to respond to that never had the opportunity. It creates so much pain. Creates such a dearth of experience. It creates such a dearth of expectancy to receive that from our Father God, who's so tactile, who's so touchy-feely, who loves to touch people. But God's got healing for that. You're not glad about that? Amen. Doesn't matter if it's been 50 years down the road, or 60 years, or 40 years, or 20 years, or even just 10 years, or however long it's been. God says, I want to heal that. I want to change that. Hallelujah. But we won't believe it when we feel it. Hallelujah. We don't wait until we feel it, till we believe it. Glory to God. If I feel it, I'll believe it. No. Just believe it. You need to believe it. God, that's who God says. That's who God declares himself to be. See, if we continue to live in our soulless 3D existence, just chasing after occasional encounters, and I'll tell you, that's better than nothing, but it's not God's best. As we looked at over the last few weeks, you know, these guys that came to David, they recognized David had an anointing from the Lord, and so they came to him, these 3D people, in their debt, in their distress, in their debt, in their discontentment. They came and they attached themselves to him, because they recognized that he had an anointing, and the anointing can help you if you're in distress and debt and discontentment. But as I said, there were only 3 categories back then in the old covenant that were anointed. There was the prophet, the priest, and the king. And so David had an anointing from the Lord, and people recognized that and they came to him. But still, a lot of people are still locked into that old covenant understanding of things, and they're still looking for an anointed man or woman who can help them in their debt and their distress and their discontent. And if they're not born again, that's cool. Because we're here to introduce people who aren't born again. We're here to introduce people who aren't reconnected with the Father. We're here He's given us anointing, the same, a greater anointing than he gave David. He's given us the same anointing that he placed on Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. Yeah. Hallelujah. To help people like that. And to restore them to a relationship where they will then know that the anointing will not just be upon them, but within them, the same as it is within us. Same as the Christ lives in us, he will live in them. Hallelujah. Then they won't have to run around anymore looking for us or anybody else. Now sometimes, as I said, sometimes we get to a place where we need somebody else, and God designed it that way. Yeah. No man's an island, and we can't live on our own and just in a place of isolation. That's not God's plan and God's design. He brought us into a family. Hallelujah. Into his family. Where we have brothers and sisters who at certain times in our lives might need to help us and get around us, and we always need to encourage one another and be a blessing to one another. And if you go through the new covenant, it's full of one another's. Amen. But we do that not out of the soulish resources of sympathy and empathy, but we do it from the supernatural fourth dimension glory of compassion. Compassion releases glory. Amen. Come on, somebody help me. Hallelujah. So we're not here to chase after, as I said this morning, I don't want to repeat myself too much, but glory to God, hallelujah. Son, it's okay to go to somewhere where there's a big meeting going on and God's doing stuff. And as I said, that's a holiday. That's you just taking a break, letting somebody else do it, and you just enjoy it. Amen. But we're not designed to do it that way all the time. We're not here just to be on one big holiday. He's given us work to do. Amen. Glory to God, and we have all of the equipment, and everything that we have is already on the inside of us to enable us to do that work. That's right. Everybody enjoys a holiday. Come on, I enjoy a holiday just as much as anybody else. Hallelujah. God knows that. He designed it. He called them holy days. Yeah. The world calls them holidays. He called them feasts, yeah. Celebrations, opportunities to come together and just, come on, do all the out stuff, you know. Hallelujah. Just enjoy it. Give us life that we might have and enjoy that life in all of its fullness. Amen. But if we just continually run around after occasional encounters with the 4D, then we're going to seriously limit God and his dealings with us. And sadly, we're going to fall short in our experience of everything that he has planned. He's got plans way bigger than we've ever dreamed. Right. Hallelujah. The plans that he has purposed and destined to accomplish both in us and through us. If you miss the through us bit, then we become like the Dead Sea. There's no problem with the inlet, there's just a problem with the outlet. The reason nothing flows out of the Dead Sea, because it's the lowest point in the earth. We're not supposed to live at the lowest point. We're on the throne. We're in the highest point. Glory to God. From the highest point, there's a river that flows. It has its source in God's throne. Come on, Hakabashaka, come on. It's a supernatural river. We were singing about it. We got pretty happy when we were singing about it. But it's more than a song. It's a reality. Hallelujah. There's another old song. We sing, I've got a river of life flowing out through me. Not just to me. It is flowing to me, but it's also flowing through me. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. Sorry, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14 says this, for this reason I bow my knees. This is Paul speaking right into this church. He's saying, this is a church that he spent a lot of time with, a church that he spent time establishing them and who they were in Christ. He found them, when he went there was only 12 guys and they didn't really have much of a clue. They were disciples, it said, but they didn't know very much. They didn't know that they needed to be baptized in water. They didn't know they needed to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they didn't know that they needed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But they didn't object to that, and they didn't argue about it. They didn't even debate about it. They just said, wow, that sounds cool. Lay it on us, Paul. I'll have some of that. In fact, I'll have a double portion of that. Thank you very much. I'll have salt and vinegar on mine. Amen. Glory to God. And Paul's writing to them later on down the road, and he's saying, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. You see, they were already established in their identity. They already knew who they were in Christ. And I said, if you don't go beyond that, you will always end up with a weakened church. A church, at least, with a weakened testimony. Because it'll be like that church at Laodicea that we looked at this morning. He just said, we have need of nothing. And Jesus said, I'm sorry, you're sadly deluded. You're actually wretched. And miserable. And poor. And blind. And naked. And you think you have need of nothing? You see, what they were actually saying was, we have need of no one. They forgot that they needed him. He was on the outside. Knock, knock. Who's there? Jesus. Jesus who? That was him. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, who's supposed to be inside, not outside. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. And Paul says, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm praying for you guys, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may send a great evangelist to you. That Christ may send a man or a woman to you to help. No, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love. See, that's the first thing you need. That's where your identity is, first of all. If you were born into a home that was operating even close to God's design and plan, then you were born into love. You were born into an atmosphere where you were immediately, even as a bump, you were loved. Come on. Even as a bump, you were cherished. Even as a bump, you were protected and provided for. And someone was, even while you were still a bump, and that bump was swelling, glory to God, people were making plans, and people were out buying things, and glory to God, come on, I wonder, will we need the blue or the pink in the old days when things were as simple as that. You know what I'm saying? And nowadays, you know, people go and they get their wee sonar things done, and they get their scans done, and then they stick it on the fridge, and they want to show it to everybody, and, you know, glory to God. And you're immediately born into that, and you're just cared for and nurtured and washed and fed and cuddled and words of love are spoken to you and you're just surrounded by that, and it's awesome. But not 20 years down the road, it's not. If things are still that way. I'll tell you, I have it sometimes. It's what I made. Everybody on the outside goes, that doesn't look right, man. I mean, if you're still sucking in your mommy, man, when you're 7 years old, somebody's got a problem somewhere. But you're rooted and grounded in that love. That's your launch pad. I'm not going to talk about what we talked about this morning, but eventually, you know, someone's going to say to you, that's your room, you tidy it. You know, you're 8 years old now. But the last 8 years, my mother did it for me. Well, now she's not doing it anymore. It's time to grow up. It's time to mature. It's time to know that you've got almost as much strength in your arms now as your mother's got. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you can make a mess, you can tidy it up. And so on and so on and so on. And little by little, children develop and they grow. They don't feel any less loved. Just things are changing. And they begin to realize that they have something on the inside of them that up until that point was just being expressed towards them. They start responding. A child who loves her parents is an obedient child. Do you know that love is expressed in obedience? Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. He didn't say, if you love me, you'll sing nice songs to me. He said, if you love me, you'll obey me. And you can sing nice songs too. They're cool. Now, see, when you hear a child singing, isn't that a wonderful thing? You think, yeah, they're happy. Unless it's death metal or something. Nobody can sing that anyway. We were up visiting, seeing our little granddaughter just an hour or so ago, and just the way she's just her hands up, you know, pa, granny, that's something for you. Amen. Run around, hands up, glory to God. I said, hallelujah to my husband. I said, hallelujah. I said, yeah. Rooted and grounded in love. Remember, we looked at this a few weeks ago, where our hope. Because what is a hope? Hope is the anchor of our soul. But an anchor is only any good if it's anchored to something. An anchor doesn't do much for you if it's still in the boat. It's good to know you've got it, but it isn't doing anything until you decide that you need to be anchored somewhere. Then your anchor comes into its own. And our hope, which is the anchor of our soul, is anchored in love. Hallelujah. Rooted and grounded in love. It goes on and says that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth. And here it is. You see, 3D people, all of us are 3D people, and we see in 3D width, length, and depth. But Paul adds an extra dimension. The fourth dimension. He says, and height. Yeah. Height. See, the higher you go, the better view you get. The higher you go, the view begins to change. At 40,000 feet, even at 14,000 feet, as I said, glory to God, flying that wee plane across down to Glasgow or whatever, it doesn't go much higher than 14,000, 16,000 feet, something like that. You fly over Ben Nevis, it's a pimple below you. Amen. You're standing down there looking up, that ain't no pimple. And that's what God has done. He's taken us up into that place of fourth dimension living with a fourth dimension view. God loved us so much, He didn't leave us down there just saying, don't worry, I love you, don't forget I love you, sing songs to me, that's nice, louder, that's lovely, good, turn up, yeah. A few more harmonies would be nice. And as you're up against all that stuff and struggling and failing and picking yourself up and falling down again and getting covered in mud, don't expect me to come down there and do it for you. No. You see, just, but remember, I love you. You know, but see, when the order first came, tidy your room, do you know that for the first while you realized that you hadn't really done very much and somebody had been there with you? Because very few parents just say, tidy your room and just walk away and leave them. You know, when that starts to change, when things start to move forward, you realize, hey, there's somebody there with me, you know. Hallelujah. Helping me. Glory to God. God said, I'm taking you up. He said this morning, he said, I want you to overcome you. I want you to come up over just as I have overcome. And I will set you down with you, with me on my throne, even as my father, as I overcame and as my father sat me down with him on his throne. Hallelujah. And when you get seated on that throne, you're going to look over and you're going to say, wow, things look a whole lot different from up here. Amen. The width and the length and the depth and the height, that's the fourth dimension. To know, not just to know about, but to know. That the Greek word there for know is a word that means an experiential knowing. It's your experience. It's not just about possession now. It's about experience that flows out of possession. You might know the love of Christ. You might experience the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That you may be filled. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Stop and meditate on that for 20 or 30 years. Uh-huh. You'll still be sucking on it and you won't have exhausted it. That's you and me. He's talking to you, might be filled with all the fullness of God. Woo-hoo-hoo. That we might know that we have access, continual access to all of the fullness of God. Just like him, that they might have life in all of its fullness. God is life. Amen. It says in John chapter 1, it says that the life that was in Jesus was the light of men. He didn't come as the religious dogmatist over men. He came as life. He said, hey guys, this is what life looks like. This is how you live life. He got, you know, he rolled around with the disciples and wrestled with them, glory to God, and ruffled their hair and stuff. And he made them breakfast. Come on. He did life with them because he wanted them to know this is how you do life. Without pressure, without stress, without anxiety. Oh, is it tax time again? Oh, glory to God, I forgot to phone the account. What are we going to do now? Yeah, the demands will be coming through the letterbox any day now. No, he said, P.A., you know how to fish. There's a fish down there. Go and catch the blackguard and open his mouth and there it will be. Hallelujah. And that's what he did and that's where he got. Amen. Always the pragmatist, never the dogmatist. Amen. Hallelujah. And did he know it was a fish there? Because he was in unbroken relationship, walkie-talkie with the daddy. Hallelujah. Amen. The father looked over his throne and saw that fish and said, hey, Jesus, tell Peter there's a fish down there. Tell him he goes right now, he'll catch it, and there's money in his mouth, and we can pay the taxes. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. How did Jesus know he was going to feed the 5,000? The old split foot could have walked back in and said, hey, there's rocks, turn them into bread. No, the father said to Jesus, there's somebody in the crowd's got a picnic. Jesus said, we'll feed them. We're going to feed them. And the disciples said, how are we going to do that? He said, we'll feed them. So the disciples, all of a sudden a wee boy appears and he's got a picnic. His mammy packed him a picnic. He was loved. Amen. Every good mammy gives you a picnic. Come on. She won't let you out the door. My wife still makes me a sandwich every morning. Hallelujah. I go into my study, it's sitting on my desk. I put it in my bag and I take it off. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Anna still gets a sandwich. Glory to God. She's 20 something or other. Coming up. 23rd of May, she'll add another one. Hallelujah. And out of that, not out turning the stones into bread, no, taking the bread and multiplying it, taking the bread and causing a manifestation of glory. Come on. So his mother says to him, Jesus, they ran out of wine. First manifestation of glory. He says, well, I don't know if they have, what do they call it, Odd Bins or something, is that one of them places where they sell wine? He said, I don't know if there's a wine shop in this town. What are we going to do now? We're going to have to go get some grapes and squash them and wait a wee while. It's going to take some time before we get the wine back on tap. No, his mother says to the servant, she says, whatever he says to you, do it. He says, I want you to fill these water barrels with water. Hallelujah. And they filled the water barrels. He said, take some of that to the master of the feast. And as they were on their way, glory to God, lo and behold, there was a manifestation of glory. Whether you like the fact that it was wine or not. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. It says, at that point, he began to reveal his glory. But somebody did what he said. Someone acted on what he said. They didn't argue with it. That's the craziest thing I ever heard. They're looking for more wine. What are we going to give them water for? Come on, how many of us would have entered into the great debate? 20 people left the church because Jesus said, fill it with water. I thought this was the new wine church. We've had a few drunk people come in looking for a top up over the years. I'll tell you, glory to God. When do we get the wine? Bring out the wine, you know, come on. Eh? Hallelujah. You might know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And in verse 20 it says, now to him who is able. You don't find this in yourself. You don't go through another 20-week discipleship course to get this. You don't have to go through another 4 years at seminary. Not even two at the seminary. Anyway. You don't have to do that to get this. Because it's nothing to do with you. It's to do with who you're connected with. When they said we have need of nothing, they were denying their need of the only one who could do anything. The only one who could supply them with everything. To him who is able. Now he doesn't do able the way we do able. He destroys the definition of able. Well, to the best of my ability. You know, that usually means it won't be as good as you were hoping. You know, you come along and say, well, I was expecting a better. Well, I did my best. God knows our best is never good enough. He just takes every language, doesn't matter what language. That's why he had to give you tongues, because you need tongues to express. English fails you, Spanish fails you, Romanian fails you, German fails you. All these wee languages up in the Amazon River, they fail you. You have to move on. In the language of the Spirit. Come on. Well, if you want a wee joy tongue, kinga bunga bunga sunga dunga, come on. You need a wee lift. If you need to find the fire exit, unga bunga bunga sunga dunga shunga bunga. Hallelujah. Glory, all of a sudden the light comes on. Hallelujah. Amen. There you are. Out the exit. Holy harabashikabo. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. He destroys that, remember that little word, all? He's just about to wreck it. I mean, he tells you to trust in this word all, and then he wrecks it. But always in a good way. Never in a bad way. He didn't come to pull it away from you at the last minute. Oh, there you are, there's all. No. He says, here's all, plus. I mean, you can't get above all as a 3D person. When you're 3D, all is all. That's it. Now, all is pretty good. But 3D all, don't always hack it. I owe £100. Well, I'll give you 50. It's all I've got. I'm still 50 short. God doesn't start with all. He starts above all. And then he says, hang on a minute, how about abundantly above all? Come on, let the fireworks start going off. Come on. We should be rockets by now. Come on. Hallelujah. And then, just in case abundantly above all isn't getting the message across, how about exceedingly abundantly above all. Wow. Sorry, my mind just short-circuited. That's why you need to live out your spirit. That's why you need to get it here. Because it says it's according to the power, the miraculous, that exists in heaven. That's over the other side of the world where God's doing all the stuff. Interesting thing, Daniel Kalenda was asked this question. He was asked, we hear, you know, like, that's great when we're hearing all that stuff that God's doing, but he's only doing it in Africa, isn't he? He said, I want to tell you proportionally, He does more in the United States in our crusades and in the UK and in other places in the West than he does in Africa. It's just that there's 1 million people in one meeting in Africa. That's what he said. So let's some of these sacred cows, some of these places, these hiding places for unbelief, some of these places said, oh yeah, he only does it in Africa. No, he said proportionally, he does it greater in the US and the UK, where people say that he isn't doing it. Wow, that was quite shocking. I thought it was pretty cool, too. Yeah. Don't you think so?
Yeah.
Amen. That you may be able, according to the power, the miraculous that works in us, Christ in you, Christ in us, the hope of glory. It says, to him be glory in the church. The last place people would expect to experience the miraculous is in church, but he says that's where he located it. The last place some people would think of going for help would be the church. That's a sad indictment on the church sometimes. But God hasn't changed his mind about the church, regardless of that. Hallelujah. He's called, he came to that Laodicean church and he said, hello, I'm here. If you'll open up and let me in, we can have some miraculous. Miraculous. You don't know that word? No, it's just as well. Sheltered life. Hallelujah. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all. We know it was for the apostolic age, brother. When God was establishing the church, we know that he did all of these things then. But you know, we're cessationists. You know what? Can you spell that? We are adherents of cessationism. Oh yeah, I know what you mean now. An ism, another ism that brings another schism. Brings more division. Let there be no schism in the body. Let him know that he does this to all generations. That he allows his power, his miraculous power, to fill us with all of his fullness and work in us and through us in all generations in the church. Forever and ever, in case we didn't get the message. Forever and ever, and then he puts a full stop, sticks an amen in there, and another full stop, glory to God, and all you can say is, lay it on me, brother. Lay it on me. Hallelujah. Lay it on me, Jesus. Bring it on! Remember I said that's the Donnie Stewart translation for amen. Bring it on. Bring it on. Hallelujah. Just every time you read something, just say, bring it on, Lord. Bring it on. I'm here. I'll take it. I mean, in these few verses, there's just so much. You can meditate on them in your whole life. Never exhaust the fullness of what they promise. So let's start sometime, eh? Maybe this would be a good time to start. Where am I? I actually have the potential. God's heart is to fill me with all of his fullness. To do exceedingly abundantly above all. I didn't think I had a chance of experiencing all. I thought all was for everybody else. But no, he says it's for me. Amen. I thought all was for Reinhard Bonnke or something, you know. Penny Hinn, somebody like that. Just a few other special people. We're all his special people.
Amen.
We're all part of that chosen generation, that royal priesthood. His own special people. Hallelujah. We need to understand, this is not about Sunday religion. It's not about showing up in church to mark our card so we can have perfect attendance. It's about having a perfect experience of God's perfect glory. Hallelujah. Let me say amen to that. If you can simply believe that. I said, so many in the church are top heavy with information, but they're light on transformation. Because they never move forward from knowing who they are in Christ to knowing who and why Christ is in them. And after, when we make that transition, I tell you, transformation is right there. I'm believing for that this year of greater glory, for people to make that quantum leap from grace to glory. Hallelujah. From the dogmatic to the pragmatic. Hallelujah. If you can simply believe and receive it, radical transformation is coming to your life. And that transformation will have an impact upon everything that you're willing to take responsibility for. I'm not tidying my room. Well, living a mess then. Hallelujah. It's our choice. You can continue to live in the mess. I don't know. I mean, I've tried to share this with people thousands of times, and I'm not really sure how many people hear it. God woke me up one morning, and He said, I want you to go and tell my people that they have the authority to say stop. That's about as simple as it gets. He gave me a picture. I shared that picture or that illustration with people, and I left it with them. I'm not sure how many people actually take that responsibility. I gave him the scripture. He gave me. He said, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, so that nothing, say nothing, so that nothing shall by any means harm you." Meditate on that for the rest of your life. It will keep you in the place where nothing will be able to harm you. We have Christ in us, the power of God and the wisdom of God. We have the anointed one with His anointing within us to empower us, to teach us. We have the hope of glory on the inside of us, not just our hope of glory, but the hope of glory for everybody that we encounter, everybody that we meet with, everybody that surrounds us, the people we work with, the people who don't even have a clue that there's a God in heaven who loves them and has made all of this available to them. We are their hope of glory. Amen. I backslid, but I was a Christian for 2.5 years, and I was saved out of a mess, and after 2.5 years I backslid and I became worse than I'd been before. You know, one of the things that plagued me was that I'd robbed people of their hope. Because I had become their hope. And I want to tell you, you don't have to ever step outside a church to backslide. You can be the best, you can have perfect attendance in church and still people look at you and see no hope. Because they see you exactly the same as them. You talk the same way as them. You react to situations exactly the same way as them. You face your problems as powerlessly as they do. We're the hope of glory to the people around us who are still stuck in their 3D mess, because we are now connected with a 4D, a fourth dimension of glory that God designed us all people to live in. He never designed anyone to live below that. When man fell, he fell from glory, but thank God he fell into grace. Hallelujah. If you'll attach your faith to that grace, you'll discover that grace isn't all He's got. I want to tell you, I'm not blaming anybody, and I'm the only one that was to blame, but when I backslid after 2.5 years, you know probably why I did that? Because grace alone didn't cut it for me. I wasn't born for religion. I wasn't born for religion. And I said, there were circumstances going on in my family and in my life at that time that I just thought, there's nothing really here to make a difference. And I went back to what did make a temporary difference in my life in the past, and lived for the moment, and lived to stay as drunk as you can for as long as you can. You don't have to face reality, you know what I mean? What a mess that is. And just you wake up in the morning and the mess is bigger than it was the night before. But there is a, don't knock people for it who are stuck in that, because there is a little bit of temporary relief in it. Amen. And that's why people do it. And that's why they do drugs. And that's why they do all kinds of crazy things that everybody really knows there's destruction at the end of it. But hey, there's a wee moment in between. Why? What a tragedy that people are living for these little moments in between when God designed us to live 24/7 in the glory. Amen. And surrounded by Christians who present them with no hope of glory. Who experience all the same things and have nothing extra in their armory apart from a few religious words. Come on. Hey, it's time for the glory. Yeah. Greater glory. Yeah. We have the ability, friends, to live a 4D life. We'll start calling you beloved again. You like that? Maybe we tried that a few weeks ago. Beloved. Hallelujah. Probably one of these other wee words that Arthur's West Coastness might not be overly comfortable with. That's why he's a new creation, amen, brother? Hallelujah. Nobody talks about loving Jesus more in this church probably than him, you know that?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I mean, sometimes you said, he's I love you, Jesus! It's awesome. It's breaking something.
It is.
It's breaking something. Hallelujah. He doesn't say it to impress you. He says it to communicate something to his Father, to his Savior. Hallelujah. To his big brother. Amen. Glory to God. I'm not lifting him up, and I'm just bragging on him. Hallelujah. Because the Lord says, hey, maybe there's a hope of glory there. We have the ability to live a 4-day life that brings the kingdom of God to the people around us. We have it within us. When you know that Christ lives in you, there's no problem believing that when you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. But first of all, we need to get a hold of some things. What does that mean for us? What does that mean for us and our 3D stuff? Are we going to bring a testimony of the 4D to those who are still stuck with that stuff? Are we going to continue? This is a year of greater glory, 2014. Are we going to continue in 3D living? Are we going to move forward? Are we going to stay stuck in distress and debt and discontent? I'm going to pass over some of that right now because I want to get some. Hallelujah. Well, give me a couple minutes on this. Hallelujah. See, 3D living equals distress, debt, and discontent. Do you know that? That's 3D. 3D living is all about that mess. Because even if you've got loads of money, it's not enough. So you're still in debt. There's still a deficit. Do you know what I'm saying? In your life, there's still a deficit because all of the money in the world will never be enough for you. Because you weren't designed for all. There's something deep down on the inside you. Deep calls out to deep. So even if you amass all of the wealth, you'll still be sitting there in the middle of this big pile, counting it over and over again, saying, it's not enough. Because you weren't designed for all. You were designed for exceedingly, abundantly, above all. No limit. All the limits are off. All the limits are off. And there'll always be a distress on the inside of you. But if you know that Christ, the power and the wisdom of God and the hope of glory is in you, what difference does that make? In relation to distress. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7-9, it says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're not denying there's something pressing hard on every side against us. We're not denying that. But whoopee. Can't crush us. Doesn't matter how hard it presses in, we just boom, bounce back out again. Doesn't matter how out of shape it thinks it's knocked us, we just boom, bounce straight back out of shape again. Yeah. Because of the treasure. Because of the glory. Because of the power that's deposited on the inside. Because of the miraculous. I tell you, you look at some people's lives, you say it's a miracle. They're still praising God. All that garbage that's come against them. But nothing's managed to shut them down or shut them up. Hallelujah. We are perplexed. Oh boy, know something about that. Scratch your head. Where are the nine? No idea. Same place as last week probably. Shakama, shakama, nerebo. If I'd been here this morning, I'd have had to be here tonight. You know why I'm here tonight? Because I was here this morning. Where are the nine? No idea. Perplexed? Absolutely. In despair? Not a chance. I'm not even despairing for the nine. Hallelujah. God ain't giving up on them, neither am I. The glory inside of me says, you don't give up on anybody. Hallelujah. That's miraculous. I know some people wouldn't have a meeting if there was only 4 or 5 people. There was a prayer meeting one time in this island, and 6 or 7 women showed up, and because a man never showed up, they didn't have the meeting, they all went home. Thank God that may not happen anymore. I don't know. It may happen in some places or some traditions, but that's just someone didn't know what was in them. I've heard some people say, you know, some ministers will say, we won't come unless you have 500, 600, 1,000. It's not worth our while. Well, I got 3 words for that. Get a life. 3 words of 1 syllable. Nice and simple. Get a life. I could phrase it some other ways, but I won't. I could ask them to remove their head from somewhere it shouldn't be, but anyway, that's another story. The view from there is not good. It also smells real bad. Anyway, we are perplexed but not in despair. Hey, we're still laughing. Just bunga bunga bunga, it's all over. Hallelujah, that's it. The end of story. We had a time in Father's house on Friday night. Arthur was like a penguin. He was like that. You know, and first of all, I thought, he looks like a penguin. And I thought, no, he doesn't. He looks like a baby eagle. Never mind the penguin. I knew he wasn't a penguin because he can't swim. See, you don't need to swim when you can fly. Anytime I'm crossing that mince, I'd much rather get on the plane and on the boat. I'll tell you, glory to God, hallelujah. Anyway, praise the Lord. Persecuted. Know something about that?
Hallelujah.
That was awful quick. I know you're all these nasty people calling you a penguin, that's terrible. But not forsaken. We're not living in that place where that stuff can affect us anymore. Jesus said, jump up and down and rejoice, hallelujah, because that's the way they treated the prophets before you. What's he telling you? You're a prophetic people attracting the same persecution that they attracted in their day. You're not forsaken. I'll never leave you. He said, I'll never forsake you. I'll get you back on the throne with a good view, glory to God, before you can say hallelujah. Yeah. It's okay to say it after. Struck down. And a few times we've had a few blows that put us to the floor. They were just like one of them wee dogs. Remember the wee kiddie toys with a wee ball with a bomb? You know, just boom, boom. A brother came here. You know, I love prophetic people who are just so... how can I put it? Colloquial, maybe, or simple, or do you know what I mean? Or non-wordy and non-religious, you know? This guy came one time and he said, he says, God showed me a picture of you. I said, really? That's nice. Did he have it in his wallet? Oh, they could. He said, maybe he does. I'm right, aren't I? Big wallet. He said, all the silver and the gold is mine. Go ahead, a big wallet. Lots of room for pictures. I said, he said, God show me a picture of you. He said, he said you were surrounded by all these demons and they kept knocking you down and they couldn't understand why you kept getting back up. I know why, because struck down but not destroyed.
Amen.
You see, we've got indestructible on the inside of us. We have indestructible. We have a guarantee that says we're indestructible. I remember my wee cousin one time, they started making these unbreakable plates. He said, I'm going to smash it off the concrete floor, man, about a dozen times. He's about 5 years old. Indestructible, we'll see about that. Unbreakable. The devil hasn't always got the message. But you and I, we've got indestructible down here.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We need to get a message. Yeah. If we get a message, he'll start getting it. He might be a bit slow, but he'll get it. Hallelujah. What about dead? What if you're in dead? What difference does it make to know that Christ, the power and the wisdom of God, and the hope of glory is in you? Well, Deuteronomy 8, verse 18 says, you shall remember that he's not on the outside, that he needs to be on the inside. That the Lord your God is he who gives you the power, the miraculous, to get wealth. That he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. That's this day now. Today is the day that God deals with us. Today, he doesn't deal with you in yesterday or tomorrow, he deals with us in today. That's what it means. Hallelujah. We've got glory on the inside of us. It means wealth. And I'll push this forward. We spent an awful long time in the distress, didn't we? Discontent. So I want to get you something. I'll get there in a few minutes and then I'll be there. Discontent. If you are discontented, what difference does it make? Do you know the body of Christ is riddled with discontentment? Now I believe there is a divine discontentment. You know what I mean? There's that. There's a content. Paul said, I've learned to be content. In whatever state I'm in, I've learned to be content. But I also know that the gospel tells me there's more. You know what I mean? It's songs like, there must be more than this. Now, some people sing that and they're singing it in complete unbelief. You know, they're singing it out of discontentment. The wrong kind. They're looking around saying, where is it? They're like the manna hunt, the manna pickers going, what is this? That's your glory food. That's your glory food. You know, the first thing you're supposed to do when you get food is give thanks.
Yeah.
Get it down you. Amen. We give thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Excuse the tongues. Anyway. If you're discontented, what difference does it make? Well, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7 says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I said it over and over again over the last few years. All my prayers are thank you prayers now. It's not, they're not begging, pleading prayers or thank you prayers. Because he's already provided everything. He's already put glory down there on the inside. Sometimes I need to access the wisdom that releases the glory. Sometimes I need to get the new combination. You know what I'm saying? But I believe the password is this. As I said, I shared the password with you last week. Jesus. Jesus. That's our password. That's the password. He became wisdom for us. The power of God. The wisdom of God. Let your request, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Thank you. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. You see, how can you surpass all? This is God's language. He's trying to explain something in English that just... You need to be in the fourth dimension. You need to be on the throne, seated with him to get this. Which surpasses all understanding. All human understanding. All human knowledge. And it will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The guard is on the inside. Most places they put the guard on the outside. But our guard is on the inside. Hallelujah. That means if the enemy even gets to break through what's the outside, he's going to meet something on the inside that's going to scare the living daylight out of him. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Amen.
I mean, he gets in there and it's like, I'm here. Oh no, who put you there? He's off. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. That's just there, be thankful. One more does he ask, but be thankful. Just be thankful, be grateful. Hallelujah. Let me just. I'm on the final straight. Do you believe that? Anybody here tonight had enough of 3D11? We're about to hit a home run here, guys. We're coming back to it next time. You understand, baby? But maybe you've had 3D needs that you've been struggling with. Maybe you've been struggling with some of these things for years. That can be physical things or. Financial things or emotional things or just baggage, all that stuff, you know, the 3D stuff that we hold with us. You know, we didn't want to leave it behind. It was so stuck to us and connected to us, we just couldn't seem to let go of it. Well, today I want to inform you, you can move up to the 4D life. Because Christ in you is the hope of, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Most of us have been taught who we are in Christ for years now. But it's time for us to fully believe who Christ is in us. So that we can press in and take the land that's been given to us. A land of hope and glory. I just had a song came back to me the other day. I thought, yeah. That's what I want to see Lewis renamed as, a land of hope and glory.
Oh, yeah.
Not a land of despair and fatalism and misery. Mm-hmm. And sin. And falling short. With the odd little 40 yearly pulse of revival. We have a trace of a pulse. See, the God who can see everything in our world. The God who can effortlessly remove things before our very eyes. The God who can see inside any 3D object or life form, and if necessary remove anything that's inside. The God who can remove a tumor from someone's brain without cutting through the skin is living on the inside of us. I want you to listen up, or something good coming here. I want you to catch it. I want you to take a hold of it. Christ the Anointed One with His anointing is where? In us. Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God is where? In us. And He's in us to enable us to live in and minister from the 4D life. I heard a man, I'm going to finish with this because I want you to catch this. I heard a man testifying a few years ago. He was a man of faith. He was a minister. He'd been on his deathbed in a semi-coma for some time, and his family, who all believed God and believed that God could heal, came and prayed and anointed him with oil, and other people came and prayed. And he was lying on that bed in that semi-coma, unable to communicate with anyone. Even although he was aware of his surroundings, he was unable to communicate in any way with those who came. And his wife and his son, as I said, they firmly believed in God's power to heal. They prayed for him several times. They brought in others to pray, but it had no apparent effect. But this is what he testified. He testified that at one point, as his wife and son were again around his bed, pleading with God, he recognized something. That Christ was in him and looking through his eyes. He recognized that Christ was in him and looking through his eyes. And at that point, his eyes opened. Wow. He came out of the coma and he was totally healed. Amen. Try applying that reality to everything that you face. Christ is in you looking through your eyes. He's looking at it through you. And he's saying, no problem. What are you fretting about? What are we anxious about? Why do I feel something stirring in you? It smells a lot like unbelief. His eyes. He said, out of me, let me look at that. Does that sound a bit far-fetched to you? That's why you need to receive this as pragma and not dogma. You are not in the flesh, it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life, real life, the God kind of life, to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. He saw Christ's eyes looking out through his. He recognized that Christ's eyes were looking out through his eyes at that point. His eyes opened and he came out of the coma. He was totally. Can you imagine? And I will finish with this, all right? Because this excited me a few days ago when I was saying about this. Can you imagine Jesus in the tomb? Lying on that slab. He's been on the cross. They've taken him down. They put him in that borrowed tomb. They roll back the stone. He's lying there on that slab. Can you imagine the Spirit of life within him? Looking through his eyes at his surroundings as he sat up, spun around on that slab, placed his feet on the ground. Can you imagine what was trembling underneath him? as he stood up. I want to tell you, every morning when you sit up in bed and you spin around that bed and you put your feet on the floor, hell should be trembling.
Yep.
The devils believe the power that's in you and they tremble. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be a tragedy if all of that trembling was in vain? He placed his feet on the ground and he stood up, victorious over death, over the grave, over hell, over sin, over every manifestation of 3D mess. Glory to God. His eyes, the power that was in him, opened his eyes. Boom. He looked around. Hey, this is not my destiny. The grave is not my destiny. A tomb? Just as well, it's just borrowed. Been a waste of money if we'd bought it. Maybe somebody done another revelation can use it again. Turn around. Put his feet on the floor. And all of hell began to shake, and it hasn't stopped shaking yet.
Hallelujah.
Now the same Christ, the same power of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and in me. When our feet touch the floor tomorrow morning, hell should begin to shake. I'm telling you, let's stand up together right now and give it a test run. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to tell you, folks, some of you were dancing here tonight. I want to tell you, you were dancing all over the devil. You were dancing all over his mess because you were dancing on the Word of God that tells you exactly who you are. Hallelujah. As long as you stand on that Word, the devil's under your feet. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Christ in you. Say, Christ in me. The hope of glory. As we go into a brand new week, I'll tell you, there's people out there, and you and I, the Christ in us is the hope of them experiencing the glory of God. Let's never forget that. Hallelujah. That's about as exciting as it gets, glory to God. I'm expecting exceedingly, abundantly above the all that some people are screaming for. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, James. Hallelujah. Glory to God.